Welcome back, everybody. Part two with Josie Scott, Mr. Brian Hopkins, my man Nick Martin down there. On part one of the episode, we went pretty deep on talking about the passing of Josie Scott's son, Cody. And, man, heavy stuff. And I cannot imagine myself as a father ever having to go through such a thing as you have. And you have, Josie, and you're coming out the other end of it. Although that tunnel's very, very, very long. I don't think you ever really do completely come out of it, but from what we've seen so far and what we've talked about in part one, you're using that as a motivation. As I said, that dream you had, Cody telling you to get up. You have. What has that entailed, getting up? What have you done since that moment of clarification or that moment of clarity for you? What has it been that you've done?
Just sort of giving myself over to the idea of making my way back into the music industry. It made it real for me. It made it a reality for me. Getting the right people on the phone to reach out to, several people have helped me to get back into that ring. Like writing with my writing and practicing and rehearsing with my son Dylan has been a big part of it, man. I like just having that connection with my son playing rhythm guitar. I remember being out on the road and like 2008 and hearing that he was starting to play Guitar Hero, and I was like, oh shit, he's gonna be a musician. And the next thing you know, he was playing bass, and the next thing you know, he was playing guitar, because you know every bass player is a frustrated guitar player. So the next thing you know, he was playing guitar, and he had said as far back as 2000 15 and 16 and 17, he was like, man, you know, we should get together and we should jam. And I was like, yeah, you know, maybe so, maybe we'll do that, you know. But I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to get his hopes up, and I didn't want to, you know, get back in the music industry just yet. And I was still raising the girls and still raising Justice and doing the family thing. And after, you know, back in the early 2000s, I think growing up the way I did, and finally getting, you know, it's one thing to chase the rabbit your whole life. There's this dog park in West Memphis, Arkansas, where these greyhound dogs chase this little rabbit, and they chase it around and around this park, and people bet on the dogs or whatever. And I never went there, but I always heard about it when I was growing up as a kid. So we always had this saying around Memphis about chasing the rabbit. But what I figured out with the music industry is, what do you do when you catch the rabbit? Because, you know, I told my parents, I'm going to make it. I'm going to die. I'm going to make it or die trying. You know, I'm going to get a record deal. And I think all the way up to the year 2000, I think I turned 28 that year, and my mom's friend was like, so are you planning on going back to college, or what are you going to do?
Right? Yeah.
And I was like, how dare you doubt me? I'm never going to college. Right. All this crazy stuff. So, and God knows as Saliva, we got turned down by every record deal or every record label at least twice. Everybody passed, as they call it. And then Island Def Jam came along, and Lior Cohen at Island Def Jam had sort of proven himself with hip hop and R&B. And he wanted to prove himself with rock and roll. And he was like, He's like one of those Israeli special forces type guys. And he was like, I like this group. I like this band. I like these guys. And
With millions and millions of other fans out there. Yeah. So it's glad he just took that on for you guys, man, because wow.
Absolutely.
I mean, Live is like a household name. I mean, literally Nick and I, it's part of my playlist of life in that age.
Yeah.
I mean,
how's that
thank
feel?
Thank you so like much. You guys are so sweet.
How's that feel to you to have these guys say that about what you did? Cause you know that you channeled this music, it came out of you. And these two grown men are saying you're a part of their life playlist. Like that's, we as artists are chasing those moments all the time. So when someone says that to us, you're like, you go, thank you. Oh, thank you. But then when you step away, you actually realize, wow, I don't know these people yet. I played a part in their teenage years or their adult years or right now. What I'm doing right now has an impact on them. What's that like?
It's just the only word I could come up with is humbling. It's just so humbling to finally arrive at moments and get to hear people say beautiful things like that. I don't take it for granted for one second, and it's just beautiful music to my ears, pun intended, to hear people that say that our music has been a part of their lives. And my favorite thing is to hear people say how it's gotten them through a difficult time in their life. That's what it's all about for me, beyond any kind of monetary value that it could ever have or any kind of fame that it could ever bring me. I think touching people's hearts has been my touchstone. It's been what really touches me back, is knowing that I've had some kind of healing balm, if you will, effect on people's lives through the power of music. Because I think that's what music was intended to do, ultimately, whether it's heavy metal or whether it's jazz or whether it's classical or whatever type of music it is. I think that's music's purpose, is to bring us through those difficult times, because the first couple of things that we want to reach out to in this life, when we have mental health problems or physical problems or family problems or family trauma or any kind of thing, the first thing we want to do is reach out to music, and usually a therapist is the next thing. So if I've had some kind of therapeutic effect on people dealing with heavy mental health issues or trauma issues or things that they've been through in their life, then my job is done.
Yeah.
And I also have,
well said.
I also have unique perspective on Saliva that you may find interesting. I've worked in radio, last 20 years of my life. We're talking major radio stations in Southern Oregon. And one of the stations I tenured on the longest was 96.9 The Rogue. It's a rock station. And I eventually climbed the ladder to where I could program that some bitch. And you have to do your research.
Oh, yeah.
And you go, you get like 600-700 songs, sometimes 500. Anyway, you get 500 songs that you can put on this radio station. And Saliva was a gold, meaning it is one of those ones that is always, 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 always in the playlist that will always get played, no matter what. You know, you get this new stuff in, wow, you throw it in, you take it out, et cetera, et cetera. So, and to this day, because I don't work there anymore at that particular station, but I still live here and I still tune in. And guess what? Still there. Well, few of them.
Click and still there. Always is still
there. Yeah. They're there. So I mean, that's a testament to how good your music is. And
Thank you, man.
It's amazing, man. And with that being said, Brian, thank you for getting Josie Scott to come on Dadcast. And Josie, thank you for taking time to come on our little show, man. We appreciate it. So there's some love right there.
We're not done.
I'm just thanking you now.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I was going to say, because this guy's got a new project that we need to know about.
Oh, we're not done. I know. I know it's a project.
I got to ask you. I'm trying to. So you stepped away from Saliva, 12 years ago?
Yeah. Yep. So, back in 2010.
Yeah. Yeah. So what have you noticed difference about the music industry? My background is in concert promotion, and I actually managed a band back in the day that we got signed on to Tooth and Nail Records. And now I'm working with a good buddy of ours, Jesse Lawson. He has a studio down in Reading. He was the guitar player, songwriter for Sleeping with Sirens. And everything is so different than what it was 10, 12 years ago, where you've got TikTok, you've got Instagram, you've got everything is social media based, and you can't get a song on the radio unless it's on TikTok. And it's just like, oh my God. So what have you noticed coming out with your new stuff, having to battle through all that and all the teeny boppers on TikTok doing the weird dances and all that kind of stuff?
Well, I think, like they say, the more things change, the more they stay the same. I think that the technology has moved by leaps and bounds and is still moving by leaps and bounds. I think it probably hasn't changed as much as it's even going to change in the next probably 10 or 15 years that we witness the changes in social media and how music is played and how music is offered and the different avenues and even little clips of music, because on TikTok, for instance, you guys were saying, little snippets of music now, are turned into these little commercials and these little dances or little things that people do, and they go viral again. Like a bunch of my friends, from Saving Abel to Pop Evil to different bands have broke on social media as well as on the radio. So I think catching up with the technology has definitely been something that this old man is trying to do. At 50 years old, I'm definitely trying to catch up with the new technology. But the more things remain the same, is what I mean by that is just coming from that real earnest empathetic place in your heart, continuing to boil your music down to that type of realness has not changed. It has not gotten, I don't think that has changed as much over the past 20 years. I think those are the things that remain the same, is coming from that real place and channeling that real thing that comes through. Elvis said one time, he said, music is not from me, it's through me. I just have the best seat in the house.
Yeah.
And keeping that channel open and not falling for all of the pitfalls that I fell for as a young man. Because like I said, I grew up in Memphis. I grew up a poor Memphis boy. You know what I'm saying? I had never seen, I literally went from being dollarless to having $100,000 thrown in my pocket or thrown in my lap, which was the worst possible looking back. Yep. Like if you would ask the 28-year-old me about that, I'd have been like, hell yeah. Oh my God. But if you ask the 50-year-old me about that, I'm like, worst case scenario, dude. Awful, bad. Because it led me along the primrose path, dude. And that's what, you know, that's exactly what the devil wants, is he wants to, he wants to pull you down that path just long enough that you don't see the door closing behind you, man. So, but being armed with that knowledge now of not falling for those pitfalls anymore, and having, being blessed with children to love and provide for, and having a beautiful wife and a family to provide for, and having that being the most important thing in my life instead of myself, instead of self, you know what I mean?
Perspective changer, isn't it?
It's absolutely such a perspective changer, man. And I'm so grateful for that, man. I'm just so grateful for that. And like I said earlier, I've realized that the most important thing for me to do in this life is to give it away, is to give it away. I think that's the lesson for all of us, whether it be doing the Dadcast or working in radio or being a TikToker or whatever your, as my mother would say, whatever your ministry may be, it's giving back. It's continuing to give back, because if you don't ever give anything away, you're never going to see any kind of progress. And I have to keep that channel open, man. I have to keep that channel open, because if I keep that channel open, it'll keep rendering those beautiful songs and those beautiful moments. It'll keep rendering those moments back to me.
Yeah.
And that's my goal.
To touch on what Nick said in his question about it, has anything changed in the last 12, 13 years? I think you're spot on, but I also believe one of the major changes that has happened is how people consume music nowadays.
Yeah.
You mentioned, Don, you're getting snippets on TikTok. I'll give you a perfect prime example. My son, 12 years old, a couple months back, comes up to me and goes, Dad, have you heard of this new band out? I'm like, who would talk to me? I've got music. Let's go. And he's like, I think they're called Metallica. I heard them on Stranger Things.
And that's, this is so where awesome. JP failed as a parent.
And no, and this is, you know, I'm like, son, that's one of Daddy's favorite bands that he grew up with. I was listening to them when I was your age. In sixth grade, Master of Puppets came out, buddy. Okay. But the very song you're listening to that you love on Stranger Things, bottom line is, it's crazy how it's just coming full circle and everyone gets it. With that being said, the Josie Scott Band, it is, right? We need to press for a song on Stranger Things season 6. And that's that, man. There you go. That's all the giving back you'll ever need, sir. Right there, son.
Yes, sir. Most definitely.
You have two projects, right? There's, you have your solo project, Josie Scott, but then what's the other project again?
I don't understand. What do you mean?
Oh no, I thought you had something else. When we chatted last time, you mentioned two separate projects you were doing. One being Josie Scott, and I thought one had a name,
I'm sorry. Well, I'm doing the Outlaw Josie Scott, and my band is called Shade Violent.
Okay, and
that's the other project we're
Tell
doing.
Tell us about it, man. Shade Violent. We got about 10 minutes left, give or take. We've barely touched on Dad today. Well, actually, no. That first half was pretty intensive. Tell us about the bands. What's going on now? Where can people who are listening and watching right now get their grubby little paws on Josie Scott music, new music, all the good stuff, all the impertinence?
Well, I've got the first single sort of in the can right now. I've got to get it produced. I've done a good demo of the first single. It's called Evel Knievel, and it's you guys are gonna love it.
What would you classify your music? Is it rock and roll? Is it?
Oh, it's definitely. Oh yeah, it's definitely rock and roll. But it took me going through what I went through to get back to that 28-year-old guy that wrote Click Click Boom and Always and Your Disease and those songs, because I got away from that. And like I said, I was falling for all those pitfalls that you fall for, whether it be money or girls or drugs or whatever. There's a plethora of different avenues you can go. But you know, once I cleared my mind, I had a really interesting conversation with when I first came back, and I got in the studio with a friend of mine from Memphis named Malcolm Springer. He was the guy that was a producer on Evel Knievel, and I think when I was coming out of Saliva, I just got lost, man. I got so spiritually and mentally and physically lost, and you know, other songwriters were coming in, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because maybe that's a good thing for some people, and maybe that works for some people. For me, it kind of poisoned the well a little bit, and there was just too many cooks in the kitchen in different times, and I was just spinning my wheels in mud. And like I said, I had kind of checked out by 2009, 2010. I was so deep in my own BS that I had sort of mentally and physically and spiritually checked out. And after I had this talk with Malcolm Springer, he goes, he's an old country boy, so he's like, where is that kid that used to walk around with the backpack on his back and the blazer on, and you had your little green notebook under your arm? Where the fuck is that kid at? Where is that kid? Where is he at? And after we had this conversation, I went outside and I got on the phone with my wife, and I'm a real emotional guy, as Brian will tell you, man. I just cried out to my wife. I said, I don't know what I'm doing. I think I made a mistake. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know how to get back to this person I used to be. And my wife told me something that I'll never forget. And this is why I'm in love with this woman, man. And she told me, she said, baby, you belong here. You belong here. And I just, like, it was another moment. It was another one of those moments, like that dream with Cody and him whispering in my ear and me feeling his breath in my ear and him saying, Dad, get up. Come on, Pops, get up. Get up, Dad. Come on, Pops, get up. And that, coupled with the love of my life telling me, you belong here, you belong here, it just made me, it made that 28-year-old kid come back that had the little green notebook under his arm that was my playbook. You know what I mean? I just wrote lyrics and lyrics and lyrics and lyrics. It made me get back to that kid, and it was like a spiritual awakening, man. And when I had that spiritual awakening, I went straight into the studio with Malcolm and wrote Evel Knievel like it never wasn't there, dude. It was just like that.
The 28-year-old, though, with the mind and body of the 50-year-old and all the experience that came along with it. So, you know, the pitfalls, they're not happening this time around.
No, sir. And I've gotten back in the gym, and I've lost 100 pounds. Can you believe that?
What's your secret?
Addiction. I'm an addictive personality, and I took all my addictive tendencies. You know what I mean? For all my addictive tendencies, and I poured them into the gym. And now my wife will tell you, if I don't go to the gym every day, I'm a pissy little soldier, man.
I know. Nick.
Yep.
here's two things I want to say. What makes you special is that you are not afraid to share these stories, because there is a 20-year-old or 28-year-old out there trying to be the next you, but he or she needs to know that they are their own self. But you are sharing everything. You are not afraid. You are not acting cool. You have already walked the path, stepped off it, and walking back in, and not afraid to say, this is different, you know, but you found it, you know, your place. And that's what I felt the moment I met you. That's why, because I'm older than you are. And the thing is, the two of us have similar things, except for I know I have an addictive personality. So being Native American Indian at 9 years old, I decided I'm never going to drink or do drugs in my life. Had nothing to do with religion, anything.
Wow.
I just don't have it. But if I turn this camera around, I can show you a cupboard full of alcohol and wine on the rack for my friends and family and people who come into my house. Because I grew up around it.
Yeah.
And I don't think about it. But the thing, that thing, there's a connection, and I can't wait to see what you do next. I can't wait to see what kind of fucking greatness comes out of you next, because I watched you take that stage. I watched you go, this is where I belong.
Man.
May I suggest a collaboration between you two?
Thank you, brother. Dude, that would be, we already had a collaboration in that dressing room, man. Yeah. When we connected and I saw his face after I told him the story about Cody, me and him were forever bonded after that, because I'm the type of Joe, man, that once you get in my feelings, I'll die for you. I will fall on my motherfucking sword, dude. And my wife's gonna get on to me for cussing, but I will fall on my sword. I'll go to war for you, man. And me and Brian that kind of moment, man. And me and Brian, me and Brian are brothers for life.
Yep.
And I know Brian hangs out with good people, so I consider all four of us brothers for life, man.
That's awesome.
I appreciate that, guys.
Dude, if I ever saw you two on stage together, it'd be the most epic concert. Brian is one of the most insane frontmen I've ever witnessed.
Whether it's in front of five people
or 10,000 people, the dude is just amazing.
Dude, Elvis Monroe, I needed to hear. I told him that was the coolest band name. That was the coolest band name I ever heard, man.
Thank you. As far as falling on your sword and whatnot, it's like I'd take a bullet for that guy, Nick, right down there. I'd prefer it go through the shoulder, mind you, but you know, I'd still take it. I mean, right?
Dang.
I would dive in front of a bullet for you too, but again, I'd go for the shoulder.
Right, you know, for a thigh, you know, just
yeah. Exactly.
Got kids to take care of, man. We're not ready to do that quite yet.
Just after talking to Josie and then Jared from Saving Abel, we need to like put together a school of rock for up and comers, taught by the guys that have done it and been there and gone down the avenues and shown them what kind of bullshit not to get into.
Anyone watching or listening to this, that is a terrible podcast idea. Don't do it. We better get on that.
I mean, there's so many bands. I mean, I can remember I was working with this one Christian band, and they're going to remain unnamed, but like these guys were going to be like the next My Chemical Romance. They were on fire, super, super good. They were a bunch of Christian dudes, but doing kind of the Switchfoot thing where it was, they're playing all kinds of venues. And the money got thrown at them, the fame, and they all went down the cheating on their wives, drugs. And it's like, guys, come on, you guys had everything at your fingertips and you lost it.
Oh, yeah. No.
And had they had someone mentoring them that had been there and gone down and seen the path and seen on the other side of what's out there.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these younger up and coming bands could change lives.
There is something to be said. I've watched too, just so you know, like talking and hearing it, you can't force these things onto people. I've been around.
Yeah. Gotta walk their own path.
That have won World Series game, you know, like won the World Series, and other teammates turning to me, saying, you got to tell him, save his money. We're not always going to be in the World Series. We're not always going to have these things. And you're not always going to get a chance to meet the president or something. Just because you don't like the president doesn't mean you shouldn't go with the team. You know, all these random things that go on, and you can say it, bring this stuff up, but it doesn't mean that they have to listen, because years later, those same people are coming to me going, man, I should have listened to you. You brought that up and I got hurt and now I'm out of baseball. And that's just 2 years later, you know, like life has changed. It's a thing that you just gotta, you have to live through it and hope that you're making the best decisions as you go. And a lot of times like this, you guys could be mentoring someone right now who's watching this and you don't know it. They're sitting at home and this conversation is helping them in some way, because I know as a young man, there were things that I had to witness and things that I knew I didn't want to put on future girlfriends, wives, future, whatever it was in my life at a young age. I did not want to do that to the people around me. And so I made the choice, you know, at a young age. And it just sticks with me. You know, I remember the first time I was in the studio and someone tried to slip me alcohol because they wanted me loosened up. And I'm like, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I could smell this. Yeah. And I'm like, what? It pissed me off. I was doing cardio today and I was thinking about that. I was like, that was some shady shit that they did. Yeah. It was because it was my first time in the studio. And I was nervous and whatever, but I got through it.
Had you expressed to these people that you don't drink?
Oh yeah, they knew.
Okay, so then that's some bullshit right there. Absolutely.
That's on them.
But it wasn't like a drink. But what I'm saying is that all we can do is continue to share and talk about our stories and share. Like I just said to you, Josie, the fact that you're okay sharing everything allows somebody who wants to be like you to know that guy he's cool. Like, that guy is the shit, but he's also okay with being human and having emotions and being okay with being scared, being hurt. You know, you share the whole realm. That's what makes a difference in people's lives. That's the thing that's why I do this with you guys. You know, that's why I'm in the, even, you know, sitting here. I couldn't wait. I was like, I would be on with Jersey. Yeah, please.
It's that pregnant pause, that Zoom delay. Josie, Brian, you guys are just normal guys like everyone else. As a matter of fact, Josie is just as normal as I am. I dye my beard too, man. I do. Just saying.
Man, hey, we used to sing this song on the bus. We'd say, just for men, for men. Makes me feel like I'm young again.
I get the dollar store brand though, man. Way cheaper. Just a buck. Dude, easy peasy.
Same. when I met Brian, I was like, you know, he's an intimidating figure, man, you know, because he's a big old tall muscular looking biker looking dude, man. And I was like,
but he's just a baby. He's a big bear.
I was like, is this dude gonna kick my ass or is he gonna be sweet or what is this guy?
You guys,
man, I got a good story about the first time I met Brian. We're doing show at this little place called the Rocky Tonk in Medford, Oregon. And it was for a nonprofit I work with my mother-in-law. And there is this asshole that was just being a dick and just like
sound man,
everybody.
Sound man.
And Brian, like this big, massive guy. And then Ben Carey, a little Australian guy, both of them like super sweet. And Brian, like the guy, I guess the guy was like getting in my mother-in-law's face or something. And Brian just bolts out and I'm like, oh shit.
Right.
And then at the end of the night, like he's the sweetest guy in the world. And it's like, wow, that's crazy.
I, It's what it goes back to what he said earlier, though. He said, you know, Joseph said he would dive on a sword, and I was okay with the guy chirping at me or whatever, you know, whatever he wanted to do. But I was not okay with him causing trouble to Ben and then your mother-in-law. And I'd had it. I was like, no, I'm like, your mother-in-law was crying, begging me not to hurt this man.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, you better just tell him to leave.
It was hilarious. But, I was like, oh, man.
Introduce you.
But no.
Josie Scott, I wanted to introduce you to my baby girl. This is my littlest, the Avery, the singer-songwriter I was telling you about. She just got home off the bus.
Hi, Avery. It's nice to meet you, gorgeous.
Oh, right in the face.
You are so pretty.
You're pretty. You're gorgeous. He says that.
She can't hear because the headphones. Yeah.
Here, okay.
You are so gorgeous. You're so pretty. It's nice to meet you, Avery. I'm Josie.
Wait, you're not shy. She's not shy. What?
She is not shy.
She's
not gosh.
Shy. What is happening is, oh, I know. It's, yeah, I know. I know. I know that crush face. All right. Go inside. Go inside. Well, they are super happy to meet you, and I'm going to play them. I'm going to send Josie your song later. He's okay.
I would love that.
It's amazing.
It's cute. It's really
you
good.
Guys, yeah. We've gone way over, so I'm going to wrap this up with asking Nick a question. Nick, do you have a fast five?
I do.
All right. Josie, all right. Five fast questions for Nick. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's boom. Do this. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
My children's faces, because they're the sweetest, most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life.
That's awesome. All right. Your favorite venue to play?
Can it be a festival type thing?
Sure.
There was a festival in Kenosha. I think it's in Kenosha, Wisconsin, or somewhere in Wisconsin, called Summerfest or Rockfest or whatever. And that's probably the coolest place. Buffalo, New York's really cool too. But that just the loudest, most rock and roll infested, loving people I've ever seen in my life.
Nice. Okay, your favorite band to play with?
Seven Dust. They will wear your ass out, though. Don't get it twisted. They will wear your ass out.
That's what I've heard. All right, your favorite family vacation spot?
Oh, Hawaii, definitely. That's an easy answer. Awesome. Hawaii, paradise. Heaven on earth. As close as we'll get this side of heaven is Hawaii.
All right.
Wow. Yeah.
I would venture to say close to that is South Florida, because you also get fish tacos and the humidity is about the same.
South Florida too.
My son just called me. He's in a caravan leaving South Florida where he lives.
Because of the hurricane Ian.
And so they're going to my niece's house with, like, there's a caravan of people going 4.5 hours away to, because they've been evacuated. Like, it's a mandatory evacuation there right now. So he said he's about 3 hours
away.
It's
crazy. I got family there too. And, well, you don't need to talk. They're preparing as well.
Yeah.
Nick, was that
it?
Last exactly. question.
Okay.
Favorite meal to cook for your kids?
When they were little.
Spaghetti and meatballs is my specialty. Okay. Like, I will I'm not a very good cook, but my spaghetti and meatballs will make your tongue beat your fucking forehead apart trying to make it delicious.
I want to try some.
Challenge accepted. I think I'm gonna have to try those. Damn, that sounds amazing.
Josie, I have two questions for you. Not right now.
Okay.
First one is, man, we're way over, but I feel like we could probably go another 2 or 3 hours. So I would like to A, formally invite you back to do another episode with us, if that is cool enough. And B, hey, Brian, I didn't do one B or C or E again. And B,
no.
We do a Father's Day special every single year, where we get as many of our past guests from the previous year on. So there's like 30 squares on the screen. Obviously, we don't film it on the day of Father's Day. We do it a few weeks prior, but I'm formally inviting you, if time willing, of course, to take part in that episode as well with all of us.
First of all, I'm so honored that you would even ask me to do that, man. That is, like, I really appreciate that.
It's a fun day, man.
Yes, I would be honored to do it, dude. Cool. Honored.
Thank you. Thank you. And the final question, the most important question I like to ask here on Dadcast, is this. If you could impart one bit of advice to any new father or expecting father, what is that advice going to be?
To teach your kids to guard their heart, to teach your children to not be desensitized by this world we live in that wants so badly to make them cynical and to make them, you know, just not worried about their fellow man. I would teach them to love one another in a way that guards their heart from all the nasty, crazy, awful stuff that's out there.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Josie Scott, thanks for coming on Dadcast,
dude,
man. You've been amazing.
Man,
that was awesome.
Thank you. Thank you, JP, and thank you, Brian, and thank you, Mr. Martin, for having me. And by the way, I think me and Mr. Martin may be kin folks because I'm kin to a bunch of Martins.
Yeah.
Oh,
possibility.
Yeah. We may be cousins.
Awesome. You going to be in Vegas anytime soon?
I may be. Yeah, I should be through there. Yep.
Okay. Well, obviously, let us know. Let Brian know. I'm sure he would love to have him on Hero's Journey podcast. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Oh, yeah.
Check it out on the YouTube and anywhere you get your podcasts. Hero's Journey is amazing.
We talk all the time.
Yeah.
We're swapping song ideas and all kinds
nice.
Of stuff.
Nice. Awesome.
Oh, hell yeah. Yep. Yep. And mind you, that what I sent you, that was just what came out, whatever.
I love it.
I just, it's one of those things where I'm not going to do anything with it unless we're sitting in the same room or you go, hey, I took that one line and this is what I don't care. Like, I just walked home from the gym after listening to our interview and those are all your words. I just took the words from that interview and I rewrote it again and I'll send you what I the lyrics that I rewrote, but they're yours, and man, it even drives it home even more. Yeah,
when I used that, man, I would always cut you in on the publishing, baby. You know that. But what I was gonna say about Brian earlier was when that big old intimidating guy when that moment presented itself and I couldn't sugarcoat it, man. I had to give him what happened about Cody and watching that big man melt in front of me like an iceberg bonded us forever, man. Like it bonded, like there was just a thing that happened where his soul like joined my soul, man. And seeing his vulnerability, seeing the vulnerability of that warrior and knowing he had the warrior spirit and the vulnerability coupled together made a gigantic heart for me, man. And I will always love me some Brian, man.
He's the same.
I love you, dude. And that's what homie. I said. That's what I was saying to you about this is that you're not afraid. You are standing there on stage like a leader going, look, follow me. Yet I'm, you know, you were not afraid that you were vulnerable. You were not afraid. And that's my point. So I appreciate that you see that in me. But well, I think my connection to you is it was like looking in a mirror and I saw myself in you. And when you, I was nervous doing that interview for, I wasn't doing it for me. I was doing it as a favor for Rock Rage Radio. And so I was nervous. Here, you're a huge rock star, man. But I forgot about all that because all of a sudden I'm hearing this man sharing this horrible situation, but also I can connect. I know that I've been spoken to in my sleep. I know that that's what gets me up and makes me work harder and do the things, chase these things that are beyond the realm of what anybody else would think of going, yeah, this is what I choose. This is what I do. This is my life. This is how I do it.
And I can validate everything he says about you, Josie, because I had dinner with him and a few other people not 5 days ago, and he wouldn't stop gushing about you, man. I'm just saying.
Man,
that's true. Well, the feeling is mutual, brother.
We will continue this in the future on another episode. To everyone watching around the world, whether you're watching or listening, thank you so much. We love you. We appreciate your support. Please like it up, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Nick Martin, on behalf of himself, Brian Hopkins, Josie Scott, thank you so much for coming on Dadcast. We'll catch all of you on the very next episode. Have a great rest of your whenever it is.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.